right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night as the season of Terry has come to a close once and for all. I'm sure we'll invite him back later on in the spring sometime, maybe do a game here and there. But Glass, back from your on-location reporting that you did here for WGCL.
That's exactly right.
We appreciate all that over the holidays.
The next full tide report, high tide report will be just after 9 a.m. tomorrow.
So we're back in full swing here in the zone on WGCL. Taking your phone calls again, as always, 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as the NFL regular season has come to a close. The Colts beat the Tennessee Titans at home behind a whole bunch of unwanted backup quarterbacks and playing in this game, one of the odder things I've ever seen in the NFL. But Ryan Lindley and Josh Freeman lead the Colts to victory. They finish 8-8 on the season and miss the playoffs because they needed about 18 things to go right, and not many of them. Well, most of them did, but not enough of them because they all had to go right. So they miss the playoffs. The Houston Texans win the AFC South, and there is no word yet out of Colts camp whether there will be changes. We all expect Chuck Pagano will be let go, or at least not renewed, which is still the same thing as being fired. We are not sure about his general manager, Ryan Grigson, so we'll find out more on that. They're expecting tomorrow at this point in time.
No more press conference today. That was announced. They will not have any formal announcement today, so you'll have to tune in tomorrow as the world turns.
There you go. So we should know more tomorrow, but we're not quite sure what it will be. In the meantime, also, college basketball continues on as the Hoosiers won their first two games on the road in the Big Ten at Rutgers with a disappointing performance by the freshman center Thomas Bryant, but he bounced back at Nebraska, and they get the two road wins to open the season. And Glass, when you looked at the schedule, you knew that the early season in the Big Ten was falling very nicely for the Indiana Hoosiers. They had to go out and they had to make hay with that and get the wins that they needed. Neither of these two games was particularly pretty. There's reasons to be critical, certainly, of play in both of them, but the bottom line is they went on the road in both of them and got the victories in the Big Ten. Never a particularly easy thing. These two should have been the easier ones of the year on the road, and they went out and got them. The Rutgers one a little bit more troubling, I suppose, for how it looked for so long. But the Nebraska one, in a game, to me, the Cornhuskers came out wanting to make a chippy game and make it physical like they have with this team in the past. Hoosiers didn't buy into it at all. Took them a while to get going, but another good second half out of this group. And I don't know if I'd call it inspiring, but it's taking care of business right now some way at the very least, and there's at least something to be said for that.
You can knock the schedule all you want before Big Ten play starts, and once Big Ten play starts, you can't do anything about it. You're at the mercy of the computer. You're at the mercy of the schedule maker. So that is a what's the word I'm looking for? That is a storyline that should now be dead and buried, and it's not. It has nothing to do with anything. If you want to mention that IU's got an easy, in your opinion, schedule for the Big Ten season, they have nothing to do with that. So I would turn the focus somewhere else, kind of like what's happening on the court in those 40 minutes. Nebraska's problem is they can't score. Indiana's problem is they don't defend very well, and Indiana scored more points than Nebraska did, and that's simplistic, but it's true because that's how Indiana's going to win most of their ball games. Same problem with Rutgers. Indiana scored more points than Rutgers did simply because they're deeper, they have better players, they have better basketball players, they have better athletes, and they should because it says Indiana University on the front of their jerseys. Nebraska and Rutgers, two of the three worst teams in the Big Ten, you shouldn't be surprised that Indiana beats them anywhere, whether it's on their road, tough environments, give me a break. There's 6,000 people at the RAC Center in Piscataway and 4,000 more Indiana fans.
Hoosier fans.
Yeah, so that's, again, that's not, there shouldn't be any surprise. You shouldn't be sitting there going, wow, can't believe that happened. Yeah, you should. Indiana has plenty of talent to do it. You want to mention they played without James Blackman? Sure, you can do that. And that's a convenient way to gloss over. But James Blackman didn't commit any turnovers on the floor on Tuesday night or Wednesday night or whenever they played at Rutgers and had a season-high 23. He didn't have any of those, so you can't pick and choose your battles there. Here's what we learned about the Indiana basketball team over their last two games. They found a way to finish on the road in the Big Ten. Whether the competition is up to your standards or your level of greatness, that's fine. The fact of the matter is, this is no different for me than stopping Southern Illinois at the 1-yard line on a conversion play. You beat them. You went to a bowl game, and nobody sits back and talks about how you almost lost to Southern Illinois.
Sure.
Nobody's going to sit back and talk to how you almost lost to Rutgers. It was funny when the game was going on. Everybody was reminded that was a game you won by 30 points last year.
Mm-hmm.
Different circumstances, different years, different players. But what Indiana did is they found enough. Whether it's good enough, it shouldn't be. That shouldn't be the top level for Indiana. That shouldn't be the final product. That's not what it is. It shouldn't be that way on the second day of January, whenever they played in Nebraska?
Yep.
That's not where you set the bar. You get the result, you move on. If you beat Rutgers in Nebraska by 30 points and you go home this week and you lose to Wisconsin and Ohio State by one apiece, does it matter? You're 2-2 or you're 2-2. The Indiana Hoosiers have a very nice opportunity in front of them. They've won now, what, 7 in a row, I believe it is, starting with they lost to Duke, beat Kennesaw State, beat
7 in a row.
7 in a row.
Since
losing to Duke. So it's been a good spell of basketball, but it shouldn't be their best spell of basketball. We've lamented on this program before, we'd like to see Indiana finish the season playing their best basketball, not in December. We've seen this before. We've seen the December. We've seen the win at Illinois earlier in the year. We've seen these things happen before. That's what Indiana basketball should do. They should win way more games than they should lose, and they did exactly that with their two openers in the conference. Are there angles to both of those games you'd like to see better? Absolutely. They were not masterpieces you're going to hang in the Naismith Hall of Fame. That's absolutely fair. Do they need to get better with the basketball? Sure. Half of their turnovers, in my opinion, and I haven't charted them out, are turnovers that they caused themselves
unforced,
by playing.
Still a big deal.
Underneath the basket and stepping out of bounds, trying to make a fancy pass that goes nowhere, jumping up in the air and throwing the ball away. That's
dribbling off your own foot.
That's controllable by Indiana. And if Indiana chooses to stop that, they can. But the one thing we don't want them to do is stop scoring, because they've shown time and time again, maybe it's not how many you hit, it's when you make them. If you make them in a streak, if you make them in a spurt and get teams frustrated, and teams that don't score very well like Rutgers, teams that don't score very well like Nebraska, all you need is a little spurt like you saw. Indiana up 5, up 14, or whatever that was. Did they get it out to 16 against Nebraska? It was 70-54 maybe?
I don't recall that, no.
It was a nice lead. It was double figures, and you knew Nebraska was done. You knew they didn't have enough offensive firepower to get back in that game unless they winged out 5 3-pointers that went in. Indiana's problems for me right now are simple. When their hero shots don't go in, they are in tight ball games against teams they don't need to. When they take bad shots and they go in, as you saw a little bit against Nebraska and you saw a little bit against Rutgers, they are almost impossible to beat, Dave, because they have lots of guys that can make really hard shots. But winning on the road in the Big Ten with nothing from Robert Johnson in two games and nothing from Troy Williams in two games, that shows you there is a little bit more girth to it. There's a little bit more substance to it than perhaps the NBA draft experts telling you who should be good on this team. It's a meritocracy. It's guys that put up numbers that are playing and getting the time. And to be fair, I take nothing away from what they did. It's an excellent start. And if you asked me before I left, if I came back and they'd won 7 straight, I'd be quite happy, and I am. And that's fair to them, because what we try to be on this program is fair, and 7 in a row, I don't care who you're playing. You've won 7 in a row, and you've put yourself in an excellent spot for 2 home games this week.
Well, they did what they needed to do. They have another chance to keep that rolling Tuesday night, tomorrow night, against Wisconsin with a celebration of the 1976 championship team, undefeated championship team, also being held. We'll talk more about what they've been doing here in the last week when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Monday Night Football is over for the season, so we're with you until 7 o'clock tonight back on our regular schedule. We've got high school basketball, though, starting back up on Friday night with the crosstown rivalry, South at North. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock and tip-off at 7:30. That is the 71st meeting of the Panthers and the Cougars. returning again on Friday night. Hoosiers play tomorrow night at home against Wisconsin. Wisconsin now without Bo Ryan. Greg Gard is their coach. Also not having quite the season you're used to out of Wisconsin. Graduated and lost a lot of players off of that final game participant team that was so good last year. As you would expect, they've had some struggles, but it's still Wisconsin. They still have their system, and they still have some talented players, so a little bigger challenge than Rutgers and Nebraska. But going on the road in the Big Ten, always a challenge. The key, winning. They did that twice at Rutgers and then at Nebraska. They did it twice without James Blackman, who is their at least their second leading scorer, if not their leading scorer. I have to look at the statistics on that exactly. No, he's their second leading scorer at almost 16 points a game, just behind Yogi Ferrell. They did so, as you mentioned earlier, and I think this is key to me about the way this team got out of these two games, was they did so without Troy Williams, without Robert Johnson, not only not having great games, but having really bad games in both of them, turnovers left and right. And yes, Troy turns the ball over a lot, but he didn't do the other things that he oftentimes does. He is the leading rebounder for this team. And Robert Johnson had a good game a couple games ago. The Notre Dame game, he was fantastic for the Hoosiers. But two games back-to-back here, he's totaled a lot of turnovers without the corresponding assists and points to offset all this. So struggling with a couple more of your key players, and then Thomas Bryant, a no-show out at Rutgers. Look, I don't want to make too much out of these two games, but to me, it's shocking to me that this team managed to kind of tough its way through these two games. It's sad that it had to, but to me it did. At the end of the day, the guys that you don't expect stood up, played their brains out in the few minutes that they got, and played really well for this team.
Well, the other part is self-inflicted wounds. How much of that was Rutgers pressure? How much of that was Nebraska being Nebraska? Well, when you look at those teams, they don't stand out as defensive anything.
No,
Rutgers
don't.
Was, what, 245th in the country or something? They were by far the worst team in the Big Ten.
No, and that was a horrible game for turnovers.
Even close.
No question.
And, of course, it's the game, the first game back after a long 8-day break, and you got to travel, and you had Christmas, and you had all that. I get all that. Yeah, it's part of it. You found a way to win, so that's it. That's the good news. But Robert Johnson, again, is playing a half a step out of control. He almost looks like Troy Williams at times. You can see what he's trying to do, and when it breaks down, he's already gone and tried to do it, and there's no recourse. You can't stop once you get into those things. It's decision-making. And Indiana has enough weapons offensively where they don't need to, and that's going to be the growth in this team, is when they decide or figure out, hey, one extra pass. Thomas Bryant's shooting about 168% from 2 feet from 2 feet away. So instead of taking contested stop-and-pop 18-footers or one pass off a curl hand-in-the-face threes, you might want to take a couple extra passes to get an open three, or maybe a ball reversal to get the ball in the post and lay it in, because there's not a lot of answers for Bryant against teams that don't have solid big men. It's going to be different against Isaac Haas and A.J. Hammonds. It's going to be different against the big Woodbury kid from I got all that.
Right.
So it's good to feed him when you can. And Thomas Bryant had no one to blame but Thomas Bryant in the Rutgers game.
Yeah.
He committed five fouls, and four of them were
really
truly
soft.
Awful.
Yeah, really soft.
Reaching away 25 feet from the basket, reaching behind a guy in the post who's never going
to
score on you in 100 years.
Trying to run over a guy while in the lane.
And again, being aggressive and going to the basket's one thing, but you got to know with three fouls, is that the time to do it? Is that the time to pull up? Is that the time to repost? Those are growing things from freshmen. Robert Johnson's a sophomore. I know we played a lot of games last year, but just because you play at Indiana a lot of games 1 year doesn't mean you exponentially improve. A lot of Indiana fans think, well, if you play here 4 years, by the time you're a senior, you should be first team all Big Ten.
Yeah, for Robert Johnson, it's the Notre Dame game that throws you off, because that game was so good and came at such a key point.
It did, and it shows you why Indiana can be dangerous, because it has about four or five of those guys who don't put it in a row for five or six nights in a row. They put it together once every four or five. As long as they don't all fire on the same night and then not fire on a night on the road in the Big Ten.
It almost happened against Rutgers. Well, that was the crazy part about that.
But it didn't, and
but
that's the good news. And you found ways to score. And Max Bielfeld, I guess, loves that gym. He tears it up every time he goes in there. So good for him. You found guys that were hot, and you went to them. You don't need to throw the ball to Troy Williams or run plays for Troy Williams when Thomas Bryant's 8-for-9 with 7 dunks.
Yeah.
You don't need to do it. And to be fair, he wasn't in the game for a lot of those situations in the second half.
That's right.
When the run was made, it was not with Troy on the floor.
That's right.
And when Troy came back in, the first thing he tried to do was too much, and another turnover and another bad decision, because he hasn't got to that point yet where he gets what playing in the offense means. And you know what? For all his athleticism, you don't want to bench him, because he gives you that tip rebound. He gives you that freak steal. He
and
gives
the,
you that.
The team fields feeds
yeah.
off.
But he can't dribble down the middle of the court and have a guy run in front of him and steal the ball and go down and lay it in. Those are things that you have to pay attention to. So you throw all that in there, and there's no James Blackman Jr. to knock in 15 points on average a night, and you get two wins. That's the good thing. Indiana has enough ham and eggs to get through it. It just, they have to be sort of firing together on all points. You can't have a night where four or five guys do it. But I think what Indiana has learned and has to continue to learn is open shots are better to take than contested ones. And for some reason, I'm not killing Yogi with 5 seconds on the shot clock. I'm killing Yogi on 2-on-3, one pass in the corner, hand in the face, three-pointer.
Right.
That's my issue. My point is, well, Thomas Bryant is doing a really nice job of getting position against the undersized kid from Australia who weighs about 162 pounds. Mm-hmm. Throw him the ball and let him dunk it. Those go in a lot more. But when you make some hands in the face threes, you want to shoot a couple more.
Sure.
Then you want to check and see how hot you are. How many three-pointers did Nick Zeisloff make in that game? Zero? One for
in
five?
In the Nebraska game, he was 2-of-6.
Okay, again, he's firing away. Mm-hmm. Nick, rotate it, let it come back around, and you're probably going to have a better-looking shot.
Well, and again, Yogi was having a nice night, especially in the second half against Nebraska. I think you can kind of understand it. But you're exactly right.
When
I mean, things changed in the second half because Troy stopped turning it over. They got the ball more intently into Thomas Bryant. Let me ask you this. The defense the last couple games, again, I'm not going to say Rutgers.
But
the second half against Nebraska, do you take anything out of that? They shot 34%. The team shoots 45%.
How many layups did Rutgers
miss in that game? Well, as many as we missed against Nebraska. I don't know.
There you go. But the point is they're getting them. That's the whole point of the deal. I don't care if you make them, because that just puts more pressure on Indiana's offense. But the point is you're still seeing too many possessions where guys are lost, guys are overhelping, guys are everywhere. Remember the great layup the kid hit going underneath the basket? Came down, dribbled, the little small kid goes underneath and does a circus shot.
Right.
The Big Ten put that clip up on Twitter to say, hey, what a great shot it was.
Right.
And if you go back in that 25 seconds, you can just see breakdown after, and everybody's just chasing the ball around, and then the kid goes in and drives where finally there nobody is. Well, my point is, when Indiana does that on offense, they're unguardable because they have enough guys that can score. So forcing the basketball, what Indiana's shooting right now percentage-wise – is unbelievable with some of the shot selection they take. It's unbelievable because you get Bryant that goes 7-for-8 that knocks that percentage right through the roof.
53.5%.
Well, it seems like Hartman goes 1-for-2 every time from the three-point line, so that always helps your three-point average.
Yep.
But Indiana's patience, that's the thing I'm looking for against better teams, to get more of these easier shots. And if the shot clock runs down, that's not even what we're talking about. That has nothing to do with anything. It's when you come out of a timeout and a guy runs a curl and catches it going the wrong way and hits and shoots a fading three-pointer with 31 on the clock. Those are shots I don't know why they continue to take, but they're still shooting a ridiculous percentage in a good way.
I think everybody would agree that the turnovers need to come down on a regular basis, certainly on average.
I'll throw it into decision-making because
That's fair.
When you have a turnover, it's a finite thing that has happened. Some of the decisions that are made in the half-court offense that go in, and you're like, that's a terrible shot. But it goes in.
They're not the only team that does that, but you're right. I mean,
I'm not worried about anybody else.
Turnovers, I think, to me, turnovers, as fast as they play, you've got to accept a few, but you don't have to accept as many as they have, and you certainly don't have to accept 23.
No.
But here's the thing. I mean, to me, it's obvious that they need to get better. If you want to say decision-making, I'll point to turnovers as the result in that. I think that's fine, too. I think that works. I'm with you. I know where you're going with that. What concerns me on the floor a little bit about this team right now, other than the obvious right there, this team has a Thomas Bryant. They try to get to the basket on a regular basis, or at least they should, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they settle. This team is shooting 68% from the free throw line. And we saw it in each of the last two games, some struggles at some key points at the free throw line. For a team that wants to get to the basket and has the ability to get to the basket so much, if you're looking down the road, I don't know if the decision-making is going to improve or not. I'm concerned that the free throw shooting eventually will cost them. Do you think it'll cost them more than the decision-making, or is decision-making already going to sink them in a game like that?
I think if you are making good decisions for the first 38 minutes, the last 2 minutes, you should have some kind of cushion where you can afford to miss one or two foul shots.
Okay.
I think if your game plan is just to get to the foul line and you have an off night shooting at the foul line, I don't think anybody plays that way. I think everybody plays, as Tom Crean has mentioned 1,000 times, and I think it's very accurate. When the ball goes through the paint, Indiana's difficult to guard because that means that people are moving laterally, people are moving, mm-hmm. and defenders have to pay attention for more than one pass or more than one, whatever it
the
is.
The defense has to react.
Exactly right. And when Indiana can get to the foul line, or I'm sorry, when they get to the basket and make things happen, sure. I think if you go to the foul line 35 times and you make 68%, you're having a good night.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how you have to look at it. So if you are focused on getting there and you're not making them all, some nights to get to an average, you're going to shoot 65. Some nights you're going to shoot 71 or whatever that works out to be. So if you shoot 70% one night and you get 30 free throw attempts, what are you, about 23? 23 or 30, yeah. Just a ballpark. Basically, you know what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Just ballpark numbers here. Right. So that's going to be probably a plus side in the game plan. I don't ever see how getting to the foul line can be bad.
Can be a bad thing.
Because
sure.
Number one, somebody has to commit a personal foul.
I wouldn't say don't try.
That's not the point. The point is the more you get there, it puts pressure on the other team because they have guys in foul problems. And right. If you're going to make 65 to 70% of them, that's a pretty good clip when you get into that 25 and 30 mark.
They got in the bonus in the first half at Nebraska at the 9-minute mark. Outside of the 9-minute mark in the first half, did not take advantage of it. And
why not?
At the end of the day, it didn't matter. But if it comes down to decision making, I think it's a legitimate point.
That's where it is. Yeah. Why are you settling for jump shots when you're in the penalty? Why are you settling for jump shots when you're in the double
why
penalty?
Aren't you forcing it?
Why aren't you throwing the ball into Thomas Bryant, knowing if he misses, fouled on the floor, he's going to get two foul shots. Mm-hmm. Taking it to the basket, getting fouled on the floor is going to get you one and one or two foul shots. I think that puts pressure. Pressure is what Indiana thrives on. Offensively, they put the other team in uncomfortable situations. They have enough guys that can shoot it. They have enough guys around the basket that can finish it. They are very, very good on the offensive side of things, and I think that is what the key is. When they settle and they don't make the other team defend for 20 seconds, or they say, sweet, they're taking contested threes, we can grab a long rebound, and we're going.
Right.
And again, those are the things that lets I think, some of the not-as-good teams maybe off the hook, because they don't have to defend as hard, they don't have to foul. They usually have slighter benches that can't absorb foul problems, Dave. There's so many positive things for being aggressive, mm-hmm. and knocking down open jump shots is one of them.
So the Hoosiers 2-0 to start the Big Ten, both games on the road. They come home tomorrow night against Wisconsin. We'll talk about that and looking forward just a little bit when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
If you're just joining us, there is no Black Monday yet in Indianapolis. Chuck Pagano's contract expired after the win against the Tennessee Titans. All the meetings that went on today, the Colts announced about 5 o'clock there would be no press conference today. So what does that mean? Well, you can draw your own conclusions on that. And whether they decide to bring back Chuck or sort out the front office or all of the above, there will be no official word on that. So if you're tuning in to wonder what's going on with that or when is that going to happen, you know now as much as we do.
But
and that's not much.
They didn't fire him right away, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Well, you know what?
It's not a bad thing.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the point: just because the media tells you they're going to fire him after the game's over and it doesn't happen, the media also told you this team was going to the Super Bowl and going to win it this year. So take that for what it's worth.
Because, and everybody's got their sources.
Well,
and they all came out this
and
week.
And they were all
whose fault was it?
They were all fighting this afternoon about Ha told you it's a 3 o'clock press conference. Ha told you the meeting's later today.
Right. Ha. Now it's not happening today.
Well. It is what it is, and that's what happens in a small media market.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this
so we'll find out more about that tomorrow. Before we get
maybe push it off again. Who knows?
Hoosiers tomorrow night play at home against Wisconsin. It is the 40th anniversary of the 1976 undefeated champion team that will be held tomorrow night. But more importantly, for the Hoosier fans, at least most of us, you got to win the game. Wisconsin's coming to town.
Well, you know
what? Talk about this easy schedule so much.
We've had some...
Here's Wisconsin at home. Here's an opportunity to show maybe you're doing something right.
Let me knock the 40th celebration quickly.
All right.
And you tell me.
I'm all for celebrations. So.
You tell me if I'm wrong. The big complaint the last few years has been what from the students? You don't give us any good home games.
Right.
And now you send the 40th, the best team ever, you give them a celebration when they're on Christmas break. That's what happens. You got 9 home games. It's a Tuesday night.
They're already missing Wisconsin, so they're already kind of screwed out of that if they're not here, aren't they?
Well, my point is,
how many of the students were alive in 1976?
If the reason you like Indiana basketball is the history, this would be the apex of that history.
I don't care about this. Look, I don't think it matters much from the students' package standpoint. That's just me.
I'm saying the students are big fans, and they go on to be donors, and they go on to buy all these expensive things, and you don't involve them. There are 7 other home games you can pick from. There are 9 Big Ten home games. There are 7 others you can choose from.
I think.
And they decided, for whatever reason, and I don't know what the reason is, and I haven't heard the reason, that they would do it when the students weren't in school. To me, from a college basketball standpoint, that is an interesting omission error, because the college fans who grew up to be adults and donors are the people that sat there like Fred Glass and Mark Cuban or whoever and said, hey, I was at that. I went to every game that year. It was great. Well,
I think you'll find more people at the game tomorrow night that were at those games in 1976.
Which is great. So basically what you're saying,
if it was the students in the place.
Sure.
Well, I mean, I think that might have part of it to do with it.
Well, that's fine. But the point is, you're telling the students of now that, hey, don't worry about our history, because obviously we...
Or it's a celebration for the rest of the fan base that is going to be
there. Do you remember when IU did their big Bill Mallory party, buckets and all that?
Well, this year the big one was his birthday. It was against Michigan.
Yeah, big game.
Yeah, well, they won.
Not the one on Labor Day weekend.
No,
exactly. It was a big game, big weekend.
Right.
And again, that's my point. My point is Indiana's basketball history, Dave, is really... That is the stump of why that stadium is built. That is the stump of why that stadium is being refurbished. That is why the Candy Stripe pants are sold sea to shining sea. That is why you're in the Maui Classic. That is why it is. And my opinion is, I found it interesting that they would celebrate the greatest team ever assembled, most of it, 74, 75 is the argument, most of it, when the students aren't here. I just thought that was interesting. I would have thought that would maybe be a celebration later in the season. But they wanted to make it the first home game on a very cold and quiet January 5th. Interesting. That's what it is to me.
I hadn't thought of it that way, and frankly, I guess I can argue either way.
Well, if you like celebrations, I'd like to celebrate. It's not the Indiana University basketball donation club. It's the Indiana University men's basketball team.
Right.
Celebrated by people that go to the university just as much as those who have come through the doors before them.
We've had a hard time getting crowds over break when there are no students here. And this is a way to guarantee that there's a crowd there, too.
Well, that's fine, but all the tickets are sold, so what are you going to do? That's a sellout.
Now.
It says 17,434 in every publisher, whether there's 4,000 people or not. I thought you'd want to make the recent students a part of that to say, hey, I was there for that team. And I found it interesting that it wasn't. I'm not upset about it. I just found that to be interesting, because you had 7 other choices when the students are in school to make it. And it's not like it was, oh, it's a Saturday and it's a part of this big weekend. It's Tuesday night.
Right.
It's January 5th. It's Tuesday night. So that's what it is, and the people that are there will have a great time, and the students that aren't in school will have to watch it on TV.
And on the floor, the Hoosiers have to play the Wisconsin Badgers. Luckily, they don't have to play the 1976 team.
Defending Big Ten champs.
Even nowadays, they might get their butt kicked. And it's a much different Wisconsin team.
Just a little bit.
And that's the key part here right now. At the very least, the question is it going to be a different Hoosier team than it has been at various times this season and in recent past against Wisconsin? Wisconsin has always been pointed out as the bugaboo, if you will, for Tom Crean and for IU under Tom Crean. Bo Ryan's not on the sideline, but is a top assistant for many years, is great guard.
23 of them, I believe it is. It goes back to the days that...
Been there a long time.
Where was he?
Or been with
Whitewater? Where was he when he was winning all those other ones? Stevens Point?
Yeah,
or
Green Bay, I think, the part of it.
No, it wasn't Green Bay.
It was pretty much
smaller than that. But Bo Ryan, the king of Wisconsin, and again, took out and tried to give this job to him after the Final Four last year, but guard's father ran into some bad cancer, and he was running all over the country with his father trying to get him treatment, and that wasn't the time where you turn the reins over to the program. Sadly, guard's father passed away a month or so ago, or 2 months ago, and the timing Bo felt right was to do it. And if Bo's heart wasn't in it, Bo has earned whatever he wants at that time to get out. He did. And the Wisconsin team has lost 4 games this year. They lost, I believe, 29 in all of Ryan's tenure over the however many years that was. So a little bit different. No Frank Kaminsky. He's gone. Sam Decker's gone to the draft as well. Trayvon Jackson, the point guard. There's 60% of your your starting lineup from a back-to-back Final Four program national championship game team. And you're right, Wisconsin has given Indiana problems, Dave, and it's not because they've had draft picks. It's not because they've been. You can name Wisconsin's draft picks, I believe, on five fingers over the last 16 years. The system that Wisconsin plays has always frustrated Indiana, and the reason it does is because, in my opinion, it makes Indiana guard a lot. And if Wisconsin wants to come down and take quick jumpers and try to play at this 90-point pace they created last year, please.
Well, they started the season doing that this year, and they look like maybe under Greg Gard they're trying to get back to their, you know, the old swing offense. And they got beat at home by Purdue. Purdue's a very good team right now, or at least has the potential to be a very good team. They were very good in that game, 61-55 at Wisconsin. Wisconsin turned around and blew out Rutgers. So, I mean, which one is it? I think the key here is they've still got the system. They still have most of their coaching staff. They still have a couple of the players that have tasted all the success that they had in the last couple of years. Do the Hoosiers, I think you're right. I mean, it still comes down to, do the Hoosiers make unforced errors? Because Wisconsin's going to force them to make a couple anyways.
They are, and Wisconsin's not that hyper-aggressive team. They're fouling more. It is a different culture around there. It's not tremendously different in the sense of what they're trying to accomplish, but it is players that haven't had a full year with Greg Gard. And you don't have Bo yelling at you when you come out of the game. That's probably a little different as well. They're 9-6, Dave, and they've played 11 of those 15 games at home. They're 1-1 on the road and 1-1 in neutral games. And again, when you look at 9-6, and what's Indiana, 12-3, 1-7 straight, where should it seep in that this Indiana shouldn't be competitive or win this game? I don't see it. The Hoosiers at home should be as comfortable gets. They like shooting in that gym. They like shooting in a lot of gyms. They shoot awfully well on that court. But when you have the Wisconsin team you look at, you've got Nigel Hayes. Maybe he gives you a little bit of a matchup problem because you really don't have that 6'8 athletic guy.
Right.
Who's not named Troy Williams, who can bump with Hayes and stay with Hayes.
And Hayes likes to stay out of the three-point line. Sure does. A little, you know, it's been a little weird for Thomas Bryant. I mean, you say inside guys have caused him trouble, and they have. I don't know if you want him 25 feet from the basket guard
Max
either.
I think Max Bielfeldt could be that's not an option because I think Hayes off the dribble is too good. So what do you do? Well, you got to make other guys beat you. And that's kind of the story with Indiana, which you didn't let happen. You didn't let the white kid hit 100 threes from Nebraska, and you didn't let Shields kill you. That's why Indiana won the ball game. It's simple. You make options 4, 5, and 6 for not very good teams have to carry the load for it. And that doesn't mean shut down defense. That doesn't mean force 20 turnovers. That means get a hand in their face and make their life uncomfortable. And Indiana can do that. And that's, I think, where you start with the defense. I don't think you get into any shutdown mode of anything. How about this? Shot goes up, everybody gets back. Okay? Start with that. Mm-hmm. What defense are you in? Everybody gets into that and then just try to figure it out. Who do you help with? Where do I need to pay attention to?
Right.
Because in the Big Ten, here's the problem with Wisconsin. They have better talent than Rutgers, and they have better talent than Nebraska. I don't know if they're better coached yet. But if Gard's been on Bo's side for 23 years, I'm going to suggest he knows what he's doing. Bo wasn't going to throw the keys to the car just to make a point or shove it up Barry's nose. I don't think that was happening.
So well, the guy's been with him forever. He knows what Bo wants to do.
But this is Gard's first rodeo with his name on the door, and going on the road in the Big Ten isn't an easy place to play, and it shouldn't be easy at Indiana. But Iowa showed you on Saturday evening after the Indiana game.
Yeah.
Down 19 at Mackey. Matt Painter's out of timeouts with 9:56 to go on his home court. Oops. Yep. It can happen. So the thought process now of, oh, it's just Kennesaw State, let's just show up, you're starting to get a little bit deeper into better teams. Teams that traditionally scout a little bit better, teams prepare a little bit better. So you asked me about turnovers and decision-making earlier. That's going to be even more key because if you give better teams more possessions, you can always go down and stop Rutgers. You can always go down there and clamp it up on Nebraska for a little bit. But Wisconsin's a little bit better. They won at Syracuse. Good road win there for them. They played Oklahoma, got blown out by them. You'll see Oklahoma and Kansas tonight, 1-2. They've lost 4 games at home. This is not a Wisconsin team where, Dave, you should say, well, if Indiana plays well. No, Indiana should beat this team. And that's what this Indiana team needs to be about. Doesn't need to be about caged underdogs and lowered expectations. You're at home. It's a big night. Go beat them.
We talked about, I won't say easy, but a simpler schedule than most people would fear. And this is part of it. And that's why you have to go and win it, because these are your opportunities. It gets much tougher later in the season. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. David Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
I got a phone issue over here. I'm sorry. For the folks trying to get through, I apologize. Gets back to us on Wednesday. We'll be here from 6 to 7, and I'll have it fixed by then. Sorry about that.
And just a reminder, short show with you tonight as Monday Night Football is over for the season. Hopefully we'll have it again for you next year. We'll return to In the Red Zone on the extended Monday nights here on WGCL. Later on this week, though, we pick high school basketball back up as North hosts South on Friday night. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and tip-off at 7:30. Looking still at tomorrow night at the Assembly Hall for the game against Wisconsin. As you mentioned, not a banner Wisconsin team. They've had a banner a couple years, or close to, so they certainly had their quality. Now Bo Ryan has retired. Greg Gard is the coach. Many of the better players, best players on last year's team are gone. Hayes is back. Bronson Koenig had a real nice season filling in for Trayvon Jackson. He is back. They've gotten a little, from what I've seen, a little loosey-goosey and careless with the ball, especially their shooting. Did not look like a vintage Wisconsin team to me to begin with.
No, they didn't. They don't have a go-to player. Hayes is really good, and I think he's going to grow into that.
And he's a heck of a matchup problem.
And when you see him, when we see Wisconsin in 6 weeks or whenever that is for the next battle, he'll be better. It's not terrible that you're getting him right now. But, yes, they kind of struggle. Koenig forces his shot a little bit. Showalter, scrappy, comes up. Well, there's not a lot of other places to go. Vito Brown's not going to get you a lot of points. Their bench is very, very thin. And
Zach Showalter had a career night the other night.
Yeah, 21, which is great. And if Max Bielfeld can go for 18 and 14 for us, he can go for 21 for them. But Ethan Happ's a decent player.
They play three guys over 33 minutes.
Yeah,
five over 26. And no one else, other than our starting five, over 16 minutes a game. Do you look at this and say that for the Hoosiers, that the fatigue thing we keep hearing about has got to be a factor down the stretch for them?
For Indiana?
Yeah, for as few players as Wisconsin plays?
I don't think that can be at this time of the year. I don't think there's enough in it. Everybody's just coming off a big Christmas break. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think the fatigue happens a little bit later when you get into the games 25, 26. The games the high school kids don't play anymore. That's what
I'm thinking second half of the game.
Nah, I don't think that I don't think that's going to bother them because they've come to this conjuncture in their season. They're used to that. This isn't somebody got injured last week and everybody's got to suck up all those minutes. I don't think that's going to bother them much. But what you make Wisconsin do is beat you with guys that they don't beat you with, and that's fine. If Vito Brown's going to have a career night and beat you, okay, God bless you, Vito.
Right.
Good stuff. But he is not a player that is going to bother. He's going to play hard. Wisconsin, what do they do, Dave? They rebound well, and they play pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. They don't play great defense anymore. They play pretty good defense. And if you give them a bunch of extra shots and a bunch of extra possessions, well, there's a lot of teams that are good or better than average that can make you pay for that. So, again, a lot of this comes down to who Indiana looks back at in the mirror. Are you chasing down loose balls? Are you getting after it? Are you getting back in transition? Are you identifying the two guys that can shoot threes? Drove you a little bit crazy in the Nebraska game when the white kid shoots 44%, right, makes five a game, and he's wide open. Let somebody else be wide open. Don't go and goof with that. But, yeah, Wisconsin's not deep enough. I don't think they're talented enough. I can say that. I don't need to give you any coach speak. I don't think they're talented as Indiana
is.
There's not. So these are games you win. These are games you go out and play, but you have to play well to do it. You can't Rutgers it against Wisconsin, even if you're at home. Why? Because they have better players than Rutgers. I think they're better coached than Rutgers.
Yeah.
You can't take that chance. So what do you do? What do you do well at home? You knock down shots. What is Indiana's key to every victory?
Knocking down
Making
shots.
More shots than they miss. So take good ones. Get the big fella involved. Get inside-out play where you've got better looks from the perimeter. And then you should knock them down because they make bad shots.
It'd be nice, of course, going forward to limit the turnovers. But more importantly to me, hit the rebounding. Hit the boards.
They do a
good
job.
Any Big Ten game. The last couple games have not been stellar. They've been better, but not stellar so far this season. It can certainly be better. This is still a Wisconsin team that doesn't turn it over a lot. So if you get up and down and try to do too much and turn it over all over the place, that's just feeding into Wisconsin. And you shouldn't feed into Wisconsin at this point in time because, as you said, I think talent-wise, and I think the way you're playing, at least on the offensive end, I think you can beat with Wisconsin if you don't absolutely kill yourself.
There's not a lot of teams in the league that can out-talent Indiana. But Indiana can bring teams to their level by giving them extra possessions, turning the ball over, giving them extra possessions by not crashing to defensive glass. Indiana does a nice job offensive rebounding. They're one of the top 10 teams in the country. But you know what? That stat's a little skewed for me. Why? Well, they make a lot of shots.
Sure.
That's the good problem to have as well. And I think what Indiana can do is punish Wisconsin. How? Making the extra pass, making guys have to foul you going to the bucket. Who's going to stay in front of this guy? And play, you know, play within yourselves. And if throwing the ball to Thomas Bryant and he goes 7-for-8, why do you stop throwing it to him? Mm-hmm. Can you explain to me why that ever can end?
Yeah,
and we've said it in the Vonleh years. We said it in the Zeller years.
If they back off the three-point shooters, which they're dumb to do that too.
And so that's the great news, because once you establish one, they have to choose to take away one or the other. And Indiana has enough guys on the perimeter that can make them pay, and that's why on Indiana's day they can be very good. And that's why when they don't play very well, fans get frustrated, because you can see when it works,
right,
how good it can be.
That's right.
And just to get that car from third gear into fourth gear and fourth gear into fifth gear, that's the next step from being a good team to a great team that I've harped on incessantly. That's if your preseason, whatever your preseason ranking is, if that's the highlight of your season, you're not having a very good year.
So, do the Hoosiers beat Wisconsin tomorrow night?
They beat them handily, 77-62. It's not going to be close, because, again, when Indiana gets ahead, Dave, I don't see Wisconsin having enough guys to dig them out of a hole. Oklahoma blew them out earlier. They only scored 48 points. Oklahoma defends a lot better. You'll see that tonight. Yes. But
well, here's the thing. The last couple years, even, we've seen Indiana in big games on their home court against better teams in Wisconsin have some very nice performances. This team, to me, still turns it over too much. It makes mistakes on defense too much to blow anybody out right now.
And
I do think they win, but I don't think it's going to be extremely dramatic.
Let's get off the crutch that Indiana needs to have a big opponent to play well. That's what small teams. Not
fair.
You. Not
no,
you.
That's fair.
Not you. Not
that's
you.
Fair.
I've
I'm
heard
just saying.
That from
I'm
others.
Just saying. In big games, they played very well.
How about
it'd be nice
up,
to play very
how
well
about getting
night.
Up for every
you.
Game yes, and playing well in the big games.
And by the way, a home game on Sunday to Ohio State.
That's we'll talk
CBS.
About that on 1:30 tip time. That's been. Put in stone,
on
I believe.
Sunday,
on Sunday.
Is.
So that is now official.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday, 6 o'clock. So tune in then, and we will talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.